Look, it's 2 weeks in a row. You get a surprise podcast intro from me personally. I'm really excited to share this episode with you from my friend Kristen from Pearls and Oak. Kristen and I have gotten to know each other over the past year through our online homeschool community, Made to Homeschool. I've been fascinated by how Kristen's family has crafted an intentional, totally unique homeschool schedule based around their family's values and goals. I know you're going to be encouraged by the reminder that we really can customize our homeschools in a way that best fits our own family's unique needs. The timing is also important because we just revamped Made to Homeschool, and there's now a membership tier option for every family's budget. For less than the cost of a Starbucks coffee, and trust me, I've been drinking a lot of Starbucks in the hospital recently, and that coffee is crazy pants, you can join our starter community, which includes starter community access, exclusive expert articles and videos, a monthly live workshop, and direct messaging with other members. The Plus membership offers all that, plus a 7-day free trial, weekly live workshops, weekly live hangouts, weekly challenges, and Community Plus access. And our most popular option is actually still the premium membership, which takes all the goodies above and adds a 10-day free trial, community premium access, workshop and event recordings on demand, an exclusive printable and curriculum supplements resource, and premium partner discounts. You can head to humilityanddoxology.com/M2H, that's the letter M, the numeral 2, and the letter H, to decide which option is right for you. I personally recommend starting out with the free trial of premium. It gives you the option of 10 free days, so you can join a few live events, check out past replays only available to premium members, and see what our community has to offer. I recently led a workshop on reading poetry with kids and taught a workshop a few months ago on creating a high school transcript, both of which will be available to watch during your free premium trial. So head to humilityanddoxology.com/M2H or click the link in the show notes. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Kristen. Welcome to Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology, a series of interviews with real-life homeschool moms, dads, and other educators on all sorts of topics that affect our lives as homeschool parents. I'm Amy Sloan, a second-generation homeschool mom of five, and I am so delighted that you are here. Here on Homeschool Conversations, we'll discuss educational philosophy, family life, and more. Come chat with us. Hello, friends. Today I am joined by Kristen from Pearls and Oak. Kristen is a first-generation homeschooling mom who is deeply committed to nurturing her daughter's education while embarking on a learning journey alongside her. Kristen and her husband have joyfully shared a decade together, embracing the adventures of life as a tight-knit trio. Rooted in their Christian faith, their family foundation is steadfastly anchored in Jesus Christ, who guides their lives and shapes their values. In their family's unique approach to education, they find inspiration in shared passions and curiosities, weaving them into the fabric of their daily learning experiences. Together, they explore the world with open minds and hearts, fostering a love of learning that extends far beyond the confines of traditional schooling. As they navigate this journey, Kristen's family thrives on the bonds they create and the knowledge they uncover together, cherishing each moment as they grow, learn, and evolve as individuals and as a family unit. And I have gotten to know Kristen a little bit over the past year as we have been part of Made to Homeschool, an online homeschool community. We'll talk more about that later, but I'm really excited to get to chat with you today, Kristen. And here at the beginning, you know, I always give the formal little bios, but I like to hear from my guests themselves a little bit about you, your family, how you got started homeschooling. And I'm especially curious if you kind of came in with an already established idea of how you thought your homeschool was going to go, or if it's kind of evolved and changed over time.
Sure. Yeah. So as in my bio, I am a homeschooling mom of one child. And so that's unique in itself. When it comes to our situation, deciding to homeschool, because at first I had no plans on homeschooling. I didn't really know anyone that homeschooled. And I thought, I only have one. I'm only going to have one. And it doesn't seem like homeschooling one child is really a thing. So that's probably not really going to be something that we'll do. And that actually came a little bit later once homeschooling even became something on my radar. I kind of quickly shut it down. But it was something that just it kept coming back up, kept coming back up. And the Lord just, he just made sure that he put people in front of me that had homeschooling experience or that encouraged me to consider it and things like that. And so it was not something that I knew from the get-go. But I have always homeschooled. So it was a decision that we made prior to my daughter being of public school age. I actually spent a few months scouting out like daycare centers, VPK centers, and all that stuff. And as after the first one, I was like, I just really don't think I can do this. Like, I don't think I can do the VPK daycare thing. And then after the next few, I was, at that point, then I was committed. I was like, we're not going to do this. Let's see what homeschooling is about before she gets school age. And then, that'll give me a year or two to see, if that's a possibility. And then I could still put her in school if I need to. And here we are, still homeschooling.
Oh, Kristen, you said you didn't know anyone at the time who homeschooled personally, but then you started kind of having these people in your life who were pointing you towards homeschooling. Were you finding that in your like in your real life, or was this stuff as you were researching online?
A little bit of both. So I, my cousin, no, my husband's cousin, she actually homeschools. And I knew that, but I didn't have any conversation with her until it really, there were other people like in passing. So to make a long story short, I used to have a business and I would do like craft fairs and craft shows and things like that. So totally unrelated to homeschooling, I would have people that visited my booth with their kids and we're just chatting, and they're looking at different things I offer, and homeschooling would come up. Or then I would be talking to someone else in a business related conversation and they would bring homeschooling up. And then my husband, I had conversations with him, obviously, and he's like, yeah, Brittany does that. Brittany homeschools all of hers. You should ask her. And I'm like, yeah, she does actually. I didn't even think about that. So then I had conversations with her. And it was like they just, once I realized she homeschooled and she very, very much encouraged me. Her and I, we are like kindred spirits. So I'm like, if she can do it and make it work, then I can do it and make it work. And then that led me into YouTube researching, trying to find out what homeschooling even meant and curriculums and all of that kind of stuff.
And then once you get into that rabbit hole, you never come out.
Yep, that was it. I was sold after that.
Well, Kristen, what have been some of your favorite parts of homeschooling?
Oh man, all of it, really. And that's not true. Not everything is rainbows and butterflies when it comes to homeschooling. Really, I just love the opportunity to be with my daughter in all seasons, no matter what that looks like. And sometimes those seasons are really robust and great school seasons. And we're doing a lot of book learning and videos and crafts and all of those really fun things. And then other seasons, it's nothing like that. And it's just life because all that you can do is life. It's hard things, it's life-changing things, it's transitions for families, things like that. And just being able to be together in whatever season that is has really been my favorite part. And watching my daughter and I's relationship as it has changed and grown just over the almost 8 years she's been alive, I know that will continue, and that makes me excited.
Yeah, I love that. The togetherness is such a gift that we get from homeschooling.
Yes.
Well, you mentioned it's not all rainbows and butterflies. So what have been some of the challenges that you faced in homeschooling, and how have you sought to overcome those challenges?
Well, here's the thing. The hard part is the humans involved, because we are all sinners, right? And we all have our faults, and we all have things that we are just not phenomenal at. And one thing, it's actually, we try to find humor in it as much as we can, but, I grew up thinking that I was not given patience, right? So my mom, just funny thing, my mom was like, I didn't give you patience. I'm so sorry. I'm not a patient person. So that's not a trait I passed down to you, talking to me. And so, you know, I just grew up thinking that I'm more patient than my mom. So that's progress, but I'm just not made to be patient. And the Lord has changed me. Now, I am not the most patient, but he gave me the phrase, patience is practiced, a long time ago. And that is a common theme through our months, through our homeschooling journey. And I have taught my daughter that. And so we will help each other, because there will be times where I'm being impatient, or, you know, my attention has been diverted somewhere for too long. And she's like, hey, you know, here I am. And so we just kind of, we really help each other in all of those things. That's part of that relationship where she feels comfortable enough to come to me and tell me, this is what I need from you, mom. You know, I feel like we really haven't spent much time together, and I make it a point to then set aside time to spend with her. So the patience is practice thing is kind of funny. But also it's very true, because I think I hear often people are like, I'm not patient enough to homeschool. Quite honestly, I don't think there's anyone that is patient enough for it. There's very few that naturally, that's just a gifting that they have. They are just very naturally a patient, you know, calm person. But I don't think that's the majority. It is definitely something that the Lord does in you through the process of homeschooling, along with lots of other things, figuring out how to schedule, learning how to adapt based on your child's needs, the season that you're in. Again, during those, this is a really great book learning season, and then this is a really hard life season. Just learning how to adapt and maneuver through all those things, while it's a blessing, it can be very challenging.
And that's where it's good to remember that patience is a fruit of the Spirit, right? So it's
Yes.
given to us. It is a gift of grace. And I love that phrase, that patience is practiced. I might steal that one and use that one with my kids. That's awesome.
I'm actually trying to teach my mom. Every time my mom calls, not every time, but when she calls, and, you know, we're just kind of chit-chatting, and she'll tell me something about work or whatever, I'm like, Mom, you need to remember, patience is practiced.
Well, as you have gone through these years learning, you know, how to fit homeschooling best into your family's situation, I would really love to hear about the way you schedule your homeschool, because you and I have talked about it a little bit, and it just always strikes me as just so unique and really cool the way you've used the flexibility and freedom that homeschooling provides to create a schedule that best fits your family. So can you talk to us a little bit about the way you do your homeschool scheduling?
Sure. So actually at the very beginning, so these are part of those things that just change through homeschooling. I thought that I loved the idea of year-long schooling, right? Schooling all the time. It's just built into your life. And it's, you know, you take breaks whenever you want to, all of those things. We tried that. And it was okay, but I found that there was a specific time of year that it just wasn't working. It seemed like we just would never get any school done. And while I wasn't concerned then, because I wasn't concerned, we had the rest of the year, but there was just those 2 or 3 months that I always felt like we should be doing something, but we just never could because it was just busy season for us. And so eventually that led to why am I trying to do school then? You know, why do I feel like I have to? I don't have to. We can just use that as our time off. That could be our break for the school year. And so that's actually November, December, and January are that's what we consider our summer break. And that's because one, it's the holiday season. But we are a hunting family. It's very much who we are. It's what we enjoy as a family. We all go together. It's a whole thing. And it just happens to fall November, December, and January. And so in my mind, it just made sense to take that time off. One, because it's busy with hunting season, but also this is Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, it's getting back into the new year. It made sense and it worked. And then when I was actually planning our school year last year, it worked out perfectly that kind of right in the middle is my daughter's birthday. And so we try to take like a week off. The week of her birthday, we generally will take off of school. Then I thought about it a little bit more and I'm like, actually, let's make that a little bit of an extended break. So I can do like some initial clean out of the classroom. We can kind of regroup and all of that stuff from the first half of the year to prepare for the second half. So it works out really great that we've got this year it turned out to be 3 weeks, in the middle of the school year. And then we take, like I said, November, December, and January off as, you know, the start of our school year.
I love that because you were purposeful. And I think that so often I will find that if I know there's going to be a difficult season or a challenging season, even if it's just a short time, it's better, so much better for me mentally as mom to just go ahead and proactively purpose to take that time off or change the plan ahead of time instead of trying to push through and like that feeling of being behind the whole time, like, oh, we should be doing more and we're not. If you can just think about it ahead of time and decide on purpose to take the time off, it's so much better, I think, for everyone involved.
And it worked out really great last year. Last year was our first year intentionally scheduling that way. And it worked out so wonderful. And so obviously that will be our move going forward until we need to change it again, if we need to change it again. But right now it just works. And so we're gonna stick with it.
What if I told you that there was a way to incorporate freedom into your homeschool planning? A way to blend flexibility and a well-ordered day. Homeschool planning doesn't have to be scary. I have created a free homeschool planning guide to help you ask the right big picture questions to set your long-term homeschool goals, and it will also give you 7 simple steps to craft a peaceful, orderly homeschool plan. If you want access to this free ebook, just head to humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-planning-guide or just click the link in the show notes. Have you noticed any downsides to having a non-traditional school schedule?
Yes and no. So it does make it difficult. Like right now is curriculum buying season. We're just getting into curriculum buying season. So everyone's having all the sales and all those things. But I just bought all of my curriculum like in December. So I tend to kind of miss out on the sales a little bit, which is okay because I still can kind of squeeze some in like around Black Friday sales and things like that. So it's not terrible, but it is one of those things. And then also a lot of my daughter's friends that are in homeschool co-op with us, they follow a more traditional school schedule. So while they're all off during the summer, we are schooling through the summer. So we are just a little bit less available than a lot of them for, you know, play dates and things like that, which I've not found to be too terrible because, again, we homeschool, so we can always just take a day if there's something, you know, really fun that we want to do. We'll just take the day off. No big deal. But having those 3 weeks really helps too, because I can kind of coordinate some of those fun summer things during those 3 weeks. And we're able to really get a lot of the bulk of our school done during that summer period. But other than that, it's really been fine.
If you were talking to a mom who maybe has, you know, maybe they aren't a hunting family, but they have some mm-hmm. other unique situation in their family, or they're thinking about year round, just something that's not maybe a traditional fall, spring semester. Do you have any advice for how to make that plan, how to think about it ahead of time?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was as simple as what is the time frame that we need to be off? So looking at your overall schedule or your calendar and planning, anticipating those times that you know you're going to need time off. So if your child is really heavily involved in a sport and you know for this entire month you're going to be traveling and things like that for that sport, then you, as much as you can, I don't know exactly how far in advance they give you, you know, time frames for those types of things. But just as an example, just plan to take that entire month off. However, so that you don't have that feeling of being behind, saying I took an entire month off, but like, where do I fit the rest of it in? Plan for where you're going to put that in. So maybe you do take July off, but you're going to start in August and rotate it that way. Or I know plenty of people that will choose to do like 4 weeks or 6 weeks of school on and 1 week off. There's a lot of options that you can choose, or you can just do whatever works for you. If it's better for you to have every Wednesday off, because Wednesday is the day for doctor's appointments and library runs or things like that, I would say the best place to start would be to monitor your homeschool over an allotted period of time. So depending on what your schedule is, what you're currently schooling, look at, you know, the last 6 months realistically, and what have been the days or the weeks or what activities are going on that are difficult for you to school around? And then what is that going to look like next year? Are those things going to continue? If so, how can you work around them? Just really trying to anticipate as much as you can. You're not going to be able to account for everything. So definitely give yourself plenty of leeway. But if there are things that you can plan for, I highly encourage, you know, putting those on the schedule and then figuring out how you're going to take those days and put them somewhere else.
That's really good advice. And even just, I loved that you brought up, maybe you always need to take like a Wednesday off. I know a lot of pastor families, actually, Saturday is not a really good family weekend day because dad's, you know, preparing for the sermon on Sunday. So a lot of times, a pastor's family will take maybe Monday as their family day off or another day, and Saturday ends up being another one of their school days. So I love just as homeschoolers that we have so much freedom and flexibility. And I think sometimes we forget that. We just sort of go with the flow or do what everybody else does. And we don't, again, think ahead, like what actually is going to best fit our family in this season. So it's really great to be reminded of the freedom we have.
Yes. And another thing too is you don't have to school during the day either. Like I know plenty of families who will school evening time, or mom will take care of certain subjects during the day and then dad takes over certain subjects, you know, during the evening times 1 or 2 days a week. So you really, when you get outside of the box and you start thinking outside of the box, it really opens up a lot of possibilities. So there is joy in that, and it is such a blessing to know that you don't have to stick to just what the public school schedule is.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I hope that is going to really encourage and maybe give some spark of creativity to the moms listening. So as they think about the upcoming school year, they can think, hey, let me reevaluate. Maybe there's a better way that will fit our family best.
Yes.
Well, Kristen, you've mentioned that you are homeschooling one child. And so I would love to hear about some of the advantages that you have found in homeschooling an only child.
The biggest advantage is it's just her and I. And so, like I'd mentioned before, we really, as much as we can, and as you know, given it, it's still mother-daughter relationship, right? So it's still parent-child relationship, but we really do have a great friend relationship as well. I just love her and I just love being with her. And it's because I've been able to spend so much time with her, and have really gotten to know her, and she's gotten to know me. And there have been times that, like I said before, we will hold each other accountable, and for that I am really thankful. Again, still parent-child relationship, so there still needs to be respect and obedience and things there. But you know, in the example I used before, if she just really feels like, Mom, can we just do this activity? Because I just feel like you haven't been spending very much time with me. Or Mom, I just really need snuggles, or you know, things like that. I am really appreciative that we have the kind of relationship that's something that I've really worked hard to have, where she feels comfortable to come to me with things, and that I honor those. It's not always right away. It's not always in maybe the way that she anticipates, but sometimes that's all that I have at the moment. Or, you know, I may have to defer something for an hour or, you know, whatever. But it's that has been really wonderful. And she's just like, I don't know, she's just like my little mini best friend. Kind of, you know, I say that lightly, right? Because again, parent-child relationship, but she is like, just yesterday, we went and got haircuts, and it was the first day of our county fair, which is like a huge, huge deal here. It's like, it's the thing for 10 days is the fair. And just on a whim, we were like, you know what? Let's go. Let's go. It's only $5 admission, so it's really cheap. We're just gonna go. And we did. And we walked around our favorite little area, and then we shared some dinner, and we went and looked at all the animals. We were there for a couple of hours, but it was just like, it just was so nice, where it's just her and I don't have a toddler or a baby where now I have to worry. I don't have a diaper bag, or I don't have these things. She's old enough now that we can do some of those fun things. And I don't know. I love it.
That is, I love hearing the love that you have and the joy you have in your daughter comes through so clearly. So that's really beautiful. Do you think there are any misconceptions people might have about homeschooling an only child?
I think a lot of people may think it's easier, to school and only. And I think in some ways, yes, it is easier. But there are challenges with an only child also, that families of multiples don't experience. Very simple example is I am the only person. So there is no, I need to complete this task, or I need to do these chores. So I need you and your brother or your sister to go play. And they happily, again, lightly happily go play, but there's no one to for her to play with, or you know, and so that gets difficult at times, because she just needs me sometimes. And I have found that if I have scheduled time with her, if I'm very intentional on the me and her time, then it's a lot easier for her to go and be independent, because she just had time with mom. And so there are ways around it, but I think it's not any easier. It's just different. I think that's all.
Are there any other challenges you've found with homeschooling? And only you mentioned, you know, it's just as it's the good thing, it's you and her together. That can also be challenging when you are the only mm-hmm. other person there. Are there any other challenges you face, or have you had to be more purposeful in having connections with other families or other activities?
Yeah. So I think one thing that I try not to be too concerned about, but I think it's one of those things that it's always in the back of my mind, is the dreaded socialization. But that's because she's an only child. And I think whether you have an only child or not, I think there is I think you need to be intentional when it comes to socialization, when it comes to a certain point. The thing is I'm not terribly concerned because I do have her in other activities, right? So she goes, like, she has dance classes and she has co-op and we have friends near and, you know, all of that stuff. But I think it's just one of those things that just is kind of always back there, that I have to be intentional about, because there are no other siblings for her. Whereas I think with multiples, I know that it's still something that people, you know, can be concerned about. But they have siblings, right, to play with and talk to, and you know, they learn to value other people's opinions that are of a same age or a similar age, conflict resolution, like all of those types of things that they learn from having siblings. I have to be intentional with her on, you know, going through some of those things.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have just really figured out how to, again, back with the scheduling, you know, figuring out how to make homeschooling work for your particular family. And I see that playing out in the way you're homeschooling your daughter too. It's just really exciting to see the way you are making that fit for each of you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Kristen, I mentioned at the beginning, you and I got originally connected through our online homeschool community, Made to Homeschool. And I know people have probably heard me talking about it a little bit, but I thought it would be fun to hear from someone else's perspective. So for someone who is new and they're like, wait, I've somehow missed this idea, can you kind of explain what is Made to Homeschool and what are some of the things that you are enjoying the most inside the community?
Very simply, Made to Homeschool is an online homeschool community. So think Facebook, but without Facebook. So we have like specific kind of like a Facebook feed or like a group, but again, not Facebook, run by Christian content creators, Christian founders. We have a printable library where you have access to all of the printables that I think our little homeschool hearts could imagine. We have a video and article library, so blog posts, things like that. We do live workshops on Mondays. So workshops are going to be kind of a, what would you call them? Like a presentation.
It's almost like you went to a like you went to a homeschool convention and you went in and you heard a session,
right?
Only it's right there and it's live and you can ask questions right there with the person live, which is really
exactly.
Awesome.
Yes. And my personal favorite is actually just the hangouts. So we have just live hangouts and that's what it is. You just come in, we're all just chit-chatting. It varies different contributors will host them at different days and times, you know, based on their availability. But that's one of my favorite parts. I love just being in there and hanging out. Cause sometimes we're talking homeschooling. Sometimes we're talking parenting. Sometimes we're talking about things that aren't related to either one of those. Sometimes we just got these really cute new shoes that we want to share or just fun things like that. And so I think that's my personal favorite part of the Made to Homeschool community.
I'm really enjoying having a place where you can share curriculum or ask questions or ask questions about other parts of, you know, just life as a homeschool mom. But there's also an opportunity to ask for prayer requests, and people pray for one another and check in on each other afterwards. And I think it's been a really sweet, encouraging place on the internet. You know, it's hard to find social media that doesn't make you want to cry occasionally. So
yes,
made
but it's
homeschool
very
has been
true.
good. Yeah. All
And
right. Oh, go ahead.
When people say they're going to pray for you, they actually mean it. Like, it's, you know, sometimes on social media, people will say that they're praying for you, but like, these are people who will actually, like, right then and there, they are praying for you. And there, I think there is something so incredibly valuable in knowing that, and knowing that I have a place and you have a place that we can go and know that there are people who are behind us and are in prayer with us with whatever it is that we're going through.
And it's nice too, because we find, of course, a commonality in homeschooling, but not necessarily in one right way, quote unquote, of homeschooling,
right,
which I also really love, because it can be hard to find your place sometimes online if you don't fit a mold of a particular, you know, perspective on homeschooling or education. And so to be able to come together and be like, hey, we all do things a little differently, we can learn from each other, but there's the shared bond of a love for Jesus. And that is certainly a much better place to find unity than a particular homeschool philosophy.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Kristen, here at the end, I'm going to ask you the questions I ask all of my guests. And so the first one is, what have you been reading lately?
So actually, the last thing that I read was, it's an American Girl book on the Boston Tea Party. That's been our read aloud, because that is currently what we're doing. We are doing the Felicity American Girl unit study from Little School of Smiths. And so that's the last thing I read.
I love that. Okay, I'm going to tell a story on myself and it will show you how old I am. So,
okay.
Felicity came out, you know, like, well, I guess what, 23 years ago-ish. And so for my 7th birthday, that was the big reveal where Felicity was being revealed as an American girl. And they had this whole thing at Williamsburg. And so my family and I, that was my gift and my birthday party, was sort of our family going to Williamsburg and doing this whole Felicity tea party. And I had Kirsten, and a friend of my mom's made me a dress to match my Kirsten doll. But I just have a very soft spot in my heart for Felicity because of that amazing experience.
That's pretty awesome, though. That is amazing. I love that.
Plus, she loved horses. She was a little bit of a tomboy, you know. I liked that.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So the second question I ask all my guests is, what is your best tip for keeping or helping the homeschool day run more smoothly?
Prayer. Lots of it. And patience is practiced.
Both very good and appropriate. And really, you need the prayer in order to practice the patience. So they kind of go together.
Exactly. Goes hand in hand, all of it.
Oh, Kristen, where can people find you all around the internet?
So I am on YouTube and Instagram at Pearls and Oak. And then I'm, of course, over in Made to Homeschool.
And I will have links to Kristen in the show notes for this episode, humilityanddoxology.com. While you are here listening to this podcast episode, if you would take a minute to leave a rating and review and make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss future Homeschool Conversations episodes. And I hope you will come and join Kristen and myself in Made to Homeschool and join the conversation over there as well. You can find that at humilityanddoxology.com/M2H, or just check the link in the show notes. Kristen, thank you so much for joining me today. It was fun to get a chance to talk to you like this. Normally we're on Marco Polo, but this was really fun.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Thanks for listening in on this week's Homeschool Conversation. For show notes and links to all the resources we discussed, head to humilityanddoxology.com/ homeschool-conversations. And if these episodes are an encouragement to you, would you take a moment to leave a rating and review and to share with your friends? I am so thankful that you are here on this adventure with me. Let's repent of our constant striving, relish the joy of learning, and rest in the work of Christ on our behalf. Stand fast, my friends.